everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. Today is February 1st. It's St. Bridget's Day, which over in Ireland means it's the first day of spring. I'll take that. And you know, folks, things can always be worse. An asteroid the size of the Chrysler Building in New York was a near miss. Well, what's a near miss to Earth? Well, 3 million miles. That's, you know, when it gets in that, it's, let's put it this way. It was in the neighborhood and luckily did not make a call here on planet Earth, where we have enough problems. It's Monday, February 1st, 2020. We're in the 11th year on the radio here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk worldwide, live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out their revamped and updated website for their e-commerce at moesgallery.com, or stop by like I did on Saturday and say hello to Moe and his lovely daughter, Corinne. And they were having a very good day. A lot of folks coming by, dropping off things that they would like framed. And who can blame them? It's done in such an incredible professional manner. Bruce Ash, one of our face-off commentators who's with me in studio, will be paying Mo a visit very soon, right,
promise,
Bruce?
Promise, Mo.
You promise, because Mo is listening right now, and he's asked me, where is Bruce Ash? Where's all that stuff that he's going to be bringing in? But it's coming, right, Bruce? Imminent?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Going through the boxes now.
Okay. Bruce Ash, who served 16 years as the Republican, one of two Republican national committeemen for Arizona. He's host of Inside Track, which runs from 1 to 2 in the afternoon Saturdays here on KVOI. Dr. Don Jorgensen is with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, good to see you back from your little trip visiting the little one in New York, and it went very well, I heard.
Wonderful. Our grandson, 14 months, is walking, running, just going crazy. It was delightful to see him and our daughter and son-in-law, and equally delightful to get out of Dodge before they got hit with this huge snowstorm now.
Yeah, that's for sure. Bruce, did you have a good weekend?
It was great. We got a new puppy, and our house is a much different place today.
I bet it is. The puppy is house-trained and everything?
No, the puppy is 11 weeks old.
Oh.
And came from from Connecticut. We picked her up at the airport up in Phoenix on Friday night. The flight was like 6 hours late, so we didn't get home till almost midnight. But little Sparky is a great pup, and we're looking forward to many, many happy years together with her and her sister, Sammy.
Oh,
they're related, actually.
Very nice. Don, Oregon's new law decriminalizing all illegal drugs went into effect. This was passed in November. It went into effect on Monday. That's today. It's pretty much everything now. Heroin, methamphetamines, all decriminalized under the law. Experts expect drug convictions in the state to drop by more than 90%. Don, you've had some experience in counseling people with drug problems. Do you think this is a trend that will be addressed across the country?
It might. And I have a great deal of experience, as you mentioned, in running programs, consulting with programs around the country. And the two sides of this are, number one, I believe the decriminalization came about just because of the tremendous disparity in sentencing and in jailing of drug users, drug abusers. It's predominantly minority folks that are victims of that, if you will. The move to decriminalization makes sense for that reason, as long as it is tied to providing alternatives to incarceration, meaning treatment, because that's the only solution. And the problem in most states is that they'll criminalize it, or even when they do provide alternatives to criminalization, they don't provide the funding necessary to really treat the issue, treat the problem. So it's not going to have an impact in increasing the number of abusers or increasing the number of addicts in any way. if it's done right, it will increase those who get help and are able to stop using, those that are addicted. Now, you hope that the other side of this issue is addressed equally forcefully, and that's going after the distribution of drugs, the drug dealers, whether they be individuals or cartels or corporate, and address that problem.
But you could see this, Bruce, as an issue in political campaigns, how people stand on this issue.
What's next?
There you go.
Incest? Is that going to be okay someday? Because poor families, there's a lot of incest. What's after that? Relations with farm animals? I'm serious. This is a bridge too far. And I agree with Don in terms of the harshness of sentences over the decades for drug users and the absolute need to more rigorously enforce and investigate all of the drug cartels, is, you know, all the way down to the neighborhood dealer. You know, the neighborhood dealer today in Arizona with marijuana is your friendly dope store who will deliver it to you, which I think is sort of ironic. Unfortunately, this is a move by Oregon. They've led in almost everything unconventional now over the past several years. I don't think this is one that is going to have a happy ending. I have experience with drug abuse very, very close inside of our family. And I know what happens, with drug abuse. I don't see, you know, 2 years ago we were arguing that marijuana is not a problem because it's not a gateway to anything. Now today, Oregon is decriminalizing all drugs. And I realize there's a difference between decriminalization and other forms of use, other prosecutions and so on. But it's all tied in. It's all related. It's a big mess, I think.
Well, again, comparing it to incest, things like that, is just nonsense.
That's ridiculous. I didn't compare it. I just said, what's the next
step? The movement... Republicans go off in a lot of strange directions. In this case, though, what we're talking about is treating it as the public health crisis it is, rather than strictly a criminal behavior, because it is beyond that. And that's why decriminalizing it still provides for accountability for those that are using, but also the opportunity for treatment, for rehabilitation that benefits public, that costs less to the public, meaning fewer taxes and such, returns these folks to tax-paying citizens and provides them opportunity, not consigning them to, state prisons and such because of, again, healthcare issues or addiction. And so it makes sense if you have the full complement of laws necessary to treat it properly and effectively as a public health crisis and folks that have a need for medical care and rehabilitation.
Again, I agree with Don. It is a critical public health crisis here in our country and around the world for that matter. The direction that we're going, though, today, you wonder how soon it'll be before there's other things that that we sort of forget. I mean, we don't spend enough time on drug prevention. People think that's sort of, Nancy Reagan, just say no. I mean, they're critical of it. Look, we have a lot of problems in this country. There are county attorneys or district attorneys in many places, many large metropolitan areas, that are decriminalizing all sorts of crimes. If you were in a dollar store or in a grocery store in California, you could walk out with $500 worth of groceries, and they don't go after them because there's going to be no criminal impact for that crime.
We just had a listener say, what the heck is going on? I just tuned in and I heard incense and sex with farm animals. So we were talking about Oregon becoming the first state to decriminalize all drugs. And Bruce Ash said, what's next? So that's where that came up. But
I hope we're not talking about things at any other time.
Bruce was saying, what's next, being facetious.
Sort of.
Okay. Hope so. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Want to talk about my experience up at Mona's. I'm now very much into their cinnamon rolls, Don and Bruce. For a while, it was the giant blueberry muffins. Of course, Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. You talk about home of comfort food. Well, yeah, this is a great place to go. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, those cinnamon rolls, they're huge. I made mine, we picked one up on Saturday, and I made it last actually a couple of days. They're that big. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're on the web at monasdanishbakery.com, where you can call ahead for your bakery goods or go into the bakery and make your order, place your order, and dine outside, or some limited indoor dining as well. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Dr. Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash with me in studio. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Bruce Ash, Dr. Don Jorgensen with me in studio. And it looks like there are over 106 bills around the country, including Arizona, that would tighten election rules despite a lack of fraud. These state lawmakers are moving ahead with these voting reforms. Bruce, I assume you think it's necessary.
Some of them might, but not all of them. I think there may be an overreaction. Frankly, the laws that existed, let's say up until about 90 days before the elections, you know, had they been followed, we might not have had some of the things happen in the election that occurred. But certainly, there's no way, Bill and Don, for us to standardize all elections across the country, because the Constitution says that every state shall come up with voting. Now, there are some restrictions in terms of discrimination, in terms of, you know, voter suppression and right to vote and so on that exist that are across the country. But, you know, to begin standardizing, as some people are talking about, I mean, not only is it probably impossible, it probably is also unconstitutional and would require a movement, you know, to change the Constitution. Up until this election, I think generally there was, I mean, there's always going to be some crying after an election, and I think Republicans have done their fair share about crying after this election, some of it for good reason, some not. But at the end of the day, we have to follow the laws that we have, and we hadn't in all cases.
What do you think, Don?
Well, I'm glad to hear Bruce say a lot of what he said, because it's true. There is now a concentrated effort on the part of Republicans in 28 states with these bills to restrict access to voting. You can call it voter suppression. You can call it what you like. But just looking at some of the bills that have been proposed by Republicans in the Arizona legislature is just, as Secretary of State Hobbs said, just breathtaking in the brazenness. Representative Bullock wants to overturn the results of the presidential election, let the legislators decide who the electors should be, regardless of who the people voted for. There's another bill a couple of bills, one to get rid of the permanent early voter list, which means if you want to vote by mail, you've got to request it any time. And then another bill that says you can request your ballot by mail, but you have to return it in person, which disenfranchises a whole raft of voters across all spectrum in the state. Then you have another Republican who wants those ballots to be notarized, which is basically another form of poll tax. So we're seeing all these efforts of voter suppression in response to a non-problem. Voter fraud doesn't exist. Perhaps maybe it exists in the Arizona Republican Party, because we see complaints that have risen up over Kelly Ward's election.
Keep your own party.
Okay. I'm just reporting what's in the news.
Right, okay.
There was
sure.
a call, what, for a recount on the Kelly Ward vote. And I know you had Kelly on your program Saturday, right, Bruce?
I did.
What did she say about that recount? I didn't happen to hear that.
Well, everybody can listen to the podcast.
Okay.
But there's nothing in our party rules that requires an audit. There was a third-party administrator for that election, and there were observers from all of the different campaigns who did not find any issues with the votes that were counted. And it's a painstaking effort. That's why it takes so doggone long in terms of all the verifications. Getting though to Don's comments, because I think I would agree with Don. I think that Ms. Bullock's idea is not a sound one. It is the people that vote, and our form of electors is I think at risk if we start changing those sorts of rules. In terms of you say suppression. Look, I think there's a lot of people, Don, who would agree from both sides that there are people who vote in these elections who do not have the qualifications to vote. They have not registered, or they show up at the last second with these mail-in ballots. You know, these all-mail ballots that went out, and they're not checking and validating signatures. They're not validating addresses and so on. This is a huge problem. I don't vote early for a variety of reasons. I don't think anybody should be prohibited from voting early, but there have to be good safeguards to make sure that these votes are the real ones and to be counted in the election.
There is zero evidence, despite multiple court challenges, and including in Arizona, for any of the issues you just brought up. It just does not exist.
You say that. That anytime anybody says there's zero or there's not any.
No, I said there was zero evidence based on the court challenges.
I mean, there are
occasional, right. but not enough to impact an election in any way. There's no perfection, but to hear Bruce talk about it, it's happening at every polling place and every county, and it just isn't happening
that
way.
Don't take words out of context. That's not what I said.
All right. But here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And this has been demonstrated in those court cases, in those challenges, by the Secretary of State. This has been demonstrated to be perhaps the most fair, safest, most secure election in history, and the Republicans didn't like the result when faced with a free and fair election.
Well, that's Don's version of what the history is. There are a lot of Democrats trying to change a lot of our history, including the folks at the New York Times and all their Democrat fellow travelers who want to change the essence of what our country stands for. So I'm not going to get too in favor of Don trying to change history here as well. The problem that we had in Arizona and other states was this rush to do ballot harvesting, which although it's against the law, was going on here in the state and all over in Georgia and Pennsylvania and so on. Ballot harvesting is just a dangerous thing.
Define for folks what you are calling ballot harvesting.
Well, ballot harvesting, as defined by law, is when a person or an organization brings in more than one vote.
So if you bring in the votes of your relatives,
that's a different story.
That's ballot harvesting. That is what the Republicans, though, in other bills now, are trying to prevent.
We know what ballot harvesting is all about, and it's not about a fellow bringing in his wife's ballot or a son bringing in his aged mother's ballot.
And there's
ballot.
Still been no legal evidence of any fraud occurring with that type of what of behavior that you're describing.
We'll get into that another time, I hope.
But Don, you're saying you're worried that some of this legislation would rule out allowing someone to take in a relative's, like a wife's ballot or something like that.
All these Republican bills are focused on making it harder for voters who tend to vote more Democratic.
Do you call that
voter
suppression?
It's voter suppression, making it more difficult for working class folks to be able to vote. If it's tougher to vote by mail, making it harder for seniors who perhaps aren't independent and able to get to polling places as easily, makes it harder for them to vote, makes it harder for folks in rural areas to vote, makes it harder for in minority areas to vote. Because the other piece of this, and we saw this occur in Maricopa County, is the tremendous reduction in polling places available too. And they were disproportionately pulled from minority voting areas. So this is a systemic approach that we've seen on the part of Republicans to limit access to voting.
Well, there's also absolutely zero evidence, Don, to coin your phrase, that there is voter suppression that goes on with the Republican Party against anybody.
I just gave you examples.
Well, you're wrong about that. And I would also say that we need to do better in terms of making sure that everybody has access to the ballot who is legally entitled to vote. I'll leave it there.
We will leave it right there. Bruce Ash, thank you very much. And Don Jorgensen, good to see you as well.
Thank you, Bill.
And I want to tell everybody about our wonderful title sponsor of our Monday Political Face-Off. He's been with us since day one, which means we're into our 11th year of Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, presenting our Monday Political Face-Off. They're over at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Their website is moesgallery.com. And Mo is listening right now, Bruce. So you've got some work that you'll be dropping off. And he always does such an absolute great job with any kind of framing. And I brought in a couple of small little oil paintings that we purchased in Chile quite a few years ago, and decided, you know, I think Mo could do something with this. Going to put them in one nice frame together. It's going to be a beautiful piece. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. All right, we are coming up on CBS Network News. Back with General Wickham right after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at NobleHopsPub.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, their extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts. That's over at Zocalo Village, which is part of the 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. And of course, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Open daily, 3384 East River Road. The website, GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Guests appear on the Buckmaster Show live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now, as we go on the live line, retired four-star general John Wickham Jr., who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the Eighth Army in Korea. He's the author of Korea on the Brink, chronicling the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill. I regret the communication problem.
No problem, General Wickham. You know, you've been saying for a long time on this program that North Korea is not about to get rid of any of their nuclear weapons. Well, North Korea's former acting ambassador to Kuwait, he's saying he talked for the first time since his defection to the South more than a year ago, and he's saying there is no way that the leadership in North Korea will give up any nuclear weapons. They are the key to the survival of that country. However, they may be willing to negotiate an arms reduction for relief from the international sanctions that are crippling North Korea. Your reaction, please.
That's the same as we've been talking. That's during the Cold War when we negotiated with the USSR. They did the same thing. They reduced their nuclear weapons. They allowed inspections all over Russia. And we signed, that's where START Treaty came. So it's possible we can work with the Koreans. And that's my view. If I were a North Korean, that's the view I would have.
Is there any way that do you think that with the change in leadership with the Biden administration, they may be open to negotiating some kind of a reduction in exchange for a relief to the for the economic sanctions?
I hope so, Bill. If they've got enlightened leadership in the State Department, they will do that. This is the approach we should take. Universally, is if you're going to negotiate on reduction of weapons, you've got to have realistic aspirations. And I think we've not had those in this previous administration. So I think if we look in an open-minded way with North Korea and make offers that are reasonable, I think we're going to get progress. And so I'm optimistic, as usual, about something like this developing.
The START, there's a the new START treaty, it's called, that's the key arms control treaty that Russia has had with the United States. It was to expire in the upcoming week, but Russia now says that they will go ahead with that. This is really the last holdover, General Wickham, for these arms control treaties with the United States. How important is that?
It's vital, actually, Bill. I just finished a talking books by an expert on weapons, and he makes the case that the philosophy of relying on nuclear weapons in foreign policy is dangerous, because if a weapon goes off, we have to use a weapon, the radiation effects are going to kill mankind and kill animals on the earth. And so incidentally, I witnessed an explosion in Nevada years ago, and I was informed afterwards by the U.S. authorities that I'd been exposed to excessive radiation. So radiation from weapons is a dangerous thing, and so the idea of using nuclear weapons in foreign policy is a mistake. That was the purpose of the book, and I think it makes sense. Literally. So any effort to reduce nuclear weapons and to reduce the use of them in foreign policy makes a lot of sense. And I think you're going to get some enlightened people working in State Department now that will be able to do that. And the North Koreans, I think, as you point out, are willing to do something that's along that line.
How many weapons do you think the North Koreans have still at their disposal, General Wickham?
I think they've had 40 weapons and the makings of 40 more. But it's easy to produce the weapons because every nuclear reactor in peacetime, the Japanese have got this problem, and so do the South Koreans. Nuclear generators produce waste nuclear products, and those nuclear products can be used to make weapons. So, for example, Japan has got probably 100 tons or more of this waste material that could be used for weapons. And the South Koreans have the same. and the technology of producing nuclear weapons is well known around the world. The problem of producing them is, of course, the mechanics of engineering that has to go into making weapons. And when I was a commander in chief in Korea, I remember I was involved in negotiating the elimination of nuclear weapons. And I vividly recall going into one of the bunkers in South Korea and putting my hands on nuclear weapons that were in there and wondering about how the devil are we going to get rid of these weapons peacefully. So, and we're doing it. We're going to do it, I hope.
And you had your hands on these nuclear devices?
Yep, I did. And also when I was a lieutenant back in the early 1950s, I was involved with weapons. I had a weapons platoon that used tactical nuclear weapons. And I went up to the demilitarized zone every month to exercise how we were going to use them. And I thought about this at the time. The idea of using nuclear weapons in Korea, even tactical ones, does not make sense because of the radiation effects that last forever. So we've really got to, as informed people, think about how we should not rely on nuclear weapons in foreign policy.
And we kind of touched on this a month ago in your monthly visit, that it really is short of a miracle, General Wickham, that there has not been some kind of, I mean, we've had Three Mile Island reactor accidents like that, but it's really nothing short of a miracle that we haven't had some kind of a nuclear device go off since 1945. Wouldn't you agree?
That's exactly right, Bill, and that's the nuclear accident could lead to that. And so it could lead to, well, I remember when I was working for Jim Schlesinger, the Secretary of Defense, that this was about the issue going on in America in one of our previous administrations when Al Haig was in the White House. And there was concern about a coup d'etat, that someone might take use of the nuclear weapon and use it to threaten democracy in America. Hmm. And I remember Jim Schlesinger put out a message to everyone in the military that there will be no movement of any troops without my personal authority. I wondered about that at the time, but this was Jim's way of preventing a coup d'etat, and it worked.
Wow. So, I had never heard of that. So you're saying there was almost a coup d'etat in the United States.
That's right. There was a piece of history that's never been revealed.
And wow.
I'm sort of revealing it on your program for the first time.
I've never heard that, General Wickham. Well, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, General, and we will be in touch with you again. Thank you.
God bless, Bill. You got a wonderful program keeping people informed.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham revealing about an almost coup d'etat in the United States that might have involved nuclear weapons, or a fear of it anyway. So that being revealed by General Wickham, he is amazingly still very sharp for 92, maybe 93, but he's in his... in his lower 90s, as they say. Amazing. All right, that's it for the Buckmaster Show Segment 3. We have Segment 4 coming up with our Mexico report from Keith Rosenblum. He'll tell us about the condition of the president of Mexico who tested positive for COVID. We'll see how he's doing right after this. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over there waiting with open arms. Soon the day will be coming when we can pile in the car and take that three-hour drive over to Silver City as we wind down, hopefully, better numbers. Certainly the case numbers of COVID have been going down pretty dramatically in New Mexico, so hopefully that day is coming when out-of-state visitors will once again be welcome over in the Land of Enchantment. For more information, you can start your trip planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, where to stay and what to do, and there's a lot to do over there in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line guests, a pure courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Mexico Report is presented by longtime Mexico observer and reporter Keith Rosenblum with us on the live line. Keith, where are you right now? Are you in Nogales?
No. You know, I decided that proximity to your studio was important to me today. Mm. Today, I am in Tucson.
Good for you.
How do you like that? I don't know. I decided somehow the aura, your aura, made me closer, makes me more articulate. So
I am. Well, you're sounding very good. Coming in loud and clear. What's the latest, Keith, on the president of Mexico who came down with COVID? Did he have a serious case or what's going on?
No, actually, I wish it was. I don't know how that sounds, kind of vindictive, doesn't it? But I wish his case was more serious.
Why is that?
I wish that a lot of world leaders, because I want they need to realize this is, you get to a certain point in leadership, I think, where you mm-hmm. become messianic mm-hmm. and you start to think that the bad things happen to other people,
right,
but not to you, because you are among the anointed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that he got a light, at least he got it. So that's a good news. It's not something just that happens to other people, but actually occurred to him. So no, he's back in action. I think that Olga Sanchez, who's the Secretary of Gobernacion, and she's the one who's been basically running day-to-day government from when it comes to dealing with humans instead of simply being enclosed in his quarantine, she's said that he would be back in full action as of a week from today.
I guess he had to stop his daily press conferences, which you've highly touted them. You say you enjoy watching them every day. So I assume he didn't do them.
I know. I believe I highly touted it only to justify my own mental illness. which is that I actually am one of the few people that tune it in every day. It reminds me,
I know.
I'll date myself and I'll date you, but remember when people had Hallicrafters radios and they had shortwave and CB? Well, you became a fanatic of those things, right? And
I bet.
Barry Goldwater was famous for being on everybody in the world and talked to Barry Goldwater at one moment.
Hey, my dad's shortwave radio set is probably why I am seated here on the radio today. That's how I got interested.
I know. Everybody did. Everybody's got a story, and I believe it. I believe that insomnia has its origins as soon as we get the Fox radio, the radios. And so my own attempt to conceal this mental bizarre behavior of listening to Lopez Obrador all the time, I can actually finish his sentences for him. I no longer need to listen to the whole thing. I now have somehow penetrated the man's mind and know exactly what he's going to say next. So if you want to know Lopez Obrador policy before he enunciates it, feel free to call me.
Keith, got a quick question for you about vaccines. We have heard nothing, at least up in this country, about how do they have a rollout that's going well, or what's going on?
Okay, my understanding is that the Mexicans have done a very good job, and I'm going to say that with a reserve in a second, but not only have they got their own vaccines from, I believe it's from Pfizer, but also they made a deal with the Russians, and Vladimir Putin has sent them 23 million of the Russian vaccines that I think are supposed to be started from one day to the next. I do know that anything that's in the Mexican government control has always been subject to doubt, but they have their own priority system as we do, you know, for first responders, for people of edad mayor, of elderly age, I think 75 and above. And I, from what I've heard, the process has been slow but regular. In other words, it's not an example of, you know, we'll call it, what would you have, like Danish or Swedish efficiency or German efficiency. But it is a process that's unfolding properly and people are in the right priority line. And the deal with Russia was really as to whether Putin did it as simply a PR thing, what the reason was, or whether he wanted to throw a special bone to Lopez Obrador, I'm not really clear. But I do know that 23 million, given that Mexico needs 125, well, no, Mexico needs, I think, like 80 or 90 million because a lot of the population is underage and doesn't require it. But it was a master stroke anyway of either Putin or of Lopez Obrador. And the bottom line is that Mexico will have enough, and it's being done in orderly fashion. And by the way, if he's with me, Bill, I don't know if I tried earlier before you called. I tried to get my buddy Arturo Medrano on the phone from Nogales, Mexico. And Arturo is one of the he's a treasure for Nogales, Mexico. And he's in charge of the Parque Industrial, the industrial park of Nogales, which has 50 some odd companies working with some 8,500 employees. And if at all, I've been wanting for the longest time for Arturo to make himself known to you and to the to your listenership, but I'm going to take a gamble right now and ask Arturo if he's there.
Yeah, I'm here, Keith.
Good. Okay. Well, Arturo, this is Bill Buckmaster, whose show is a landmark of Tucson radio, and I wanted Bill to be able to meet and to have a conversation with somebody who knows a lot more about Mexico than Keith, if that's possible.
Yes. Okay, can I ask Arturo a quick question? You know, there are 8,500 employees at the Nogales Industrial Park. I'm just wondering, during COVID, did that shut down or did people keep working?
Well, at the beginning, it did shut down. We had some companies that were essential, that they worked for the medical devices or the medical industry. Those companies kept going and didn't stop for not a day, but at least 80% shut down. But it came back fairly quickly, probably 2 or 3 months after the shutdown. It started with all the different measures on all the plants, and the industry in Mexico has done a great job. They have invested a lot of money just to keep the business continuity on. And definitely, you know, it's been really interesting seeing this.
Arturo Medrano is with us, the director of the Nogales Industrial Park. Real quickly, Arturo, one more question for you. What is the variety of type of businesses, and are those products being shipped to the United States, or are they being shipped to offshore somewhere else?
Well, probably 80 to 90% is shipped to the U.S. or indirectly to other plants in Mexico that eventually will ship to the U.S. Here we have several industries. We have aerospace, we have automotive, we have medical devices. We manufacture from, you know, for example, we manufacture very small actuators that go into the Da Vinci robot, the one that does telemedicine and surgeries. Those are manufactured here in our park.
Wow. Arturo, thank you for joining us. Maybe we can talk again. Thank you, Keith, for bringing him on the program.
Yeah, we'll see if we can improve that connection next time, too, but I'm tickled that Arturo was able to make it. So
yeah. So that's interesting that they've, according to Arturo, they've got about, I think he said about 80% now. They're back up to about 80% capacity. Hopefully they'll get that up there to 100% very soon. Keith, thank you very much for introducing Arturo to our listeners.
Yeah, our pleasure.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much. And again, give my regards to Arturo Mendrano, director of the Nogales Industrial Park. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition, which is always, when you're doing live radio, is always full of surprises. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our guests like Keith Rosenblum and Arturo Mendrano, appeared on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On behalf of John Couch, Bill Buckmaster with you, urging you to stick around. Got a great afternoon of programs lined up for you. We've got Dave Ramsey with his very popular show on money. And after that, a very popular program we're doing here, Our American Stories. It's KVOI, trusted local news and talk. Have a great afternoon, everybody.